This podcast is a presentation of University of California Television. Like what you hear? Consider making a donation at uctv.tv/donate so we can continue to bring you more great programs.
At UC Davis, researchers lie at the heart of every breakthrough across our Sacramento and Davis campuses. Every person involved, including clinicians, program staff, and study participants, contributes to advancing research from the lab to lives.
Hey there, Aggies. Welcome to another episode of That May Be the Chancellor. Today, I'm meeting with two UC Davis researchers, as well as people from the Sacramento region whose lives have been positively impacted by their work. Let's go.
The UC Davis Comprehensive Cancer Center is Sacramento's only National Cancer Institute designated center, one of 73 in the nation. As a national leader, the center is breaking barriers to beat cancer with its early stage clinical trials and the latest diagnosis and treatment options, including immunotherapy. They are connecting cutting edge science with local patients who participate in cancer research studies that change their treatment paths and give many their lives back.
Hello, I'm Gary May.
Hey, how you doing? Joe Toscano.
Nice to meet you, Joe.
Jorge Guy.
Jorge, pleasure to meet you. Thanks for doing this with us today. I'm looking forward to our conversation. Let's start with Dr. Toscano. Tell us about the current research that you do and some of the breakthroughs and innovations you may have had recently with the research.
You know, I'm involved in several aspects of research, new drug development, as well as transferring some of those drugs to patients. The new drugs that we're developing are mostly focused on immunotherapy, harnessing the power of the immune system to fight cancer. And we've been very successful in the lab in developing these new products that are very, very exciting. And then another big part of what we do is we work with other centers around the country, we work with the National Cancer Institute to bring these new products to patients. We design these trials ourselves, and then we recruit our local community patients to participate.
I want to turn to Jorge. Tell us your story, your cancer story, and how you got to know each other.
I came to UC Davis and I got tested. I met Dr. Toscano, and we found out that I have lymphoma. I think it was around a year after that we decided that I would go into a clinical trial. There were two medications I took him, and I was in remission for 7 years.
Wow, that's fantastic.
It was wonderful.
So does any particular moment or part of the clinical trial, part of the study stand out to you, something you remember?
The clinical trial was not a chemotherapy. It was immune therapy. So after the treatments, I was able to continue my life as it was. We always talk about quality of life, and that was very important.
When you are in a trial, it's almost like you're doing some work to help future patients. Did you feel that way, that you were?
Most definitely. It's not just you, it's everywhere around you that might have the same issues that might be able to help now or in the future. And that's what I believe in clinical trials. We cannot discover new treatments unless we have trials.
Well, you're a fantastic example of the power of research, and Dr. Toscano, your work has just been so impressive. And Jorge, we hope that you have a long life ahead of you after
Thank
these trials,
you.
And glad to see you're in such good shape. We appreciate you sharing your story.
Thank you.
So all the good work that goes on here and the people that work here, so dedicated, tell me how important it is to have the support of the federal government and the resources that they provide in making this happen.
It's critical. I mean, a huge part of what we do is supported by the federal government. I mean, Jorge, that patient, would not have access to the clinical trial. The vast majority of our support for these, I think, these groundbreaking trials comes from the federal government.
And we're talking about saving lives, right?
Saving lives, extending lives, improving quality of life.
Joe, you're one of the heroes. Thanks
thank
for
you.
Doing
thank
this.
You so much. It's yeah. a team effort, and I thank you for your support. The university has been good to us and our patients.
Indeed.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It.
The UC Davis Mind Institute is one of the nation's leading centers for research, clinical care, and education focused on autism and neurodevelopmental conditions. Its interdisciplinary research brings together families, researchers, clinicians, community leaders, and volunteers to create more personalized, equitable, and evidence-based systems of support and intervention.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
So great to meet you. Thanks for coming
today. Hello.
Nice to meet you, sir.
Can you tell me about the research project, the study that you're part of?
It's called the Autism Phenome Project. This is probably the longest running neuroimaging studies. We take pictures of the brain at 5 different time points. So we've actually taken 5 pictures of your brain, Lizzie, across your, from 2 to 18. And then pairing that with all of the behavioral and medical and other information to look for these trajectories. And so the purpose of having this longitudinal study is to really follow them across time and then look for early predictors of later outcomes.
So it sounds like, Lizzie, you're helping them figure out how to help other autistic children.
Yep.
And young adults.
Yes.
Does that make you feel pretty good?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. And then if I could just say neuroteens then is something that came out of this research study, the Autism Phenome Project. It's really just this social support group for neurodivergent girls, and it's just creating a space. You know, Lizzie, do you want to describe a session?
Like a session, like we talk about neurodiversity and like representation in media and how to deal with our emotions.
Do you feel like you've learned from the other girls in the group?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
And Lizzie is now a facilitator. So she graduated from the program, and she's stuck with us, and she's our chat host, because we do this virtually, and she and she just makes the teens feel welcome and engaged.
Very impressive, Lizzie.
Thank you.
What do you want to do with all these things you're learning in neuroteens?
I want to use it to inspire other autistic neurodivergent girls to be the best versions of themselves, to not be afraid to make mistakes, to not be afraid to be themselves, to know that they're understood and that they're accepted and supported by everyone.
So, Lizzie, just what have you learned about yourself through this whole process?
I learned that my autism is a superpower. It makes me unique and special, and that there are other people like me and that I'm not alone in this. And there are people that are always supporting me, including my family and my friends.
That's great. We all need superpowers.
Developmental conditions and how we can support families.
Tell me about how important it is to have the benefactors that you have, including the federal government as a supporter.
Yes, so the NIH has been funding the Autism Phenome Project since 2011. Without federal funding, we wouldn't be able to do a longitudinal study like this, right? It takes a lot of resources to follow a child from age 2 to 20, and so it's just been critical in everything.
That's important because this is an area that industry wouldn't fund this. Even philanthropy would be really difficult to fund over such a long period of time, a study like yours.
20 years.
Yeah.
If we lost funding now, you know, it would just be devastating to all of the data that, that we've been collecting for 20 years. You know, these kids are now at early adulthood. We want to find out their outcomes. Like, all of this data that we've been collecting is really for this, right? How did they turn out? And can we do early predictors of how they turned out? But if we can't get funding to continue following them, we will lose that. You know, as part of the Autism Phenome Project, we can't do this without the parents bringing their kids in. And so I thought it'd be a great opportunity for you to be able to meet one of the parents in our study.
That sounds
and
great.
Just have a chat with them.
All right, thank you. Hello.
Hi.
My name is Gary May.
So good to meet you.
Nice to meet you. I understand you have a son, Braden, that's participating in the autism study. Tell me how this helps you and your family feel supported in your raising Braden.
Coming into this all those years ago, we didn't really expect much in terms of what we would receive out of this. We were really focused on what we could do to help people in the future through the study. And so I was really surprised with what we did get. The sense of community was one. To have the team here who knew him, was familiar with him, and helped us.
What did you learn about your child, about Brayden, as you participated in this?
I think one of the things I've learned the most is that he's capable of more than I think. There's a lot of things that you never stop to think about. Is my child capable of this, or does my child do this? But with all the amazing questionnaires we get to fill out, and then watching them do that when they're younger, now he's doing it on his own, but being in there when they're doing the evaluations and stuff, and you're like, my goodness, I had no idea he could do that, you know? So that, I think, is one of the things that stands out the most, is just realizing the potential that maybe I wouldn't have noticed, or wouldn't have noticed as soon if I hadn't seen him do that through the study.
Oh, it sounds like a wonderful collaboration that's yielding some really important results. So thank you for doing it. Thank you for participating in this.
Thank you. Thank you for focusing on it, because it's, you know, it's important for people to know about the work they're doing.
It is really important. We're trying to shine a light on this important work. Today was incredible. The people I met today are superheroes. Not only did I meet some of UC Davis's hardworking researchers, but meeting the people who participated in their research and hearing about the impact on their lives was something I'll never forget. Thanks for watching, and keep an eye out, because you never know, that may be the chancellor.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at UCTV.tv.